Welcome to the Working Within podcast, a podcast dedicated to your spiritual growth, well-being, and awareness. I'm Charlene, your favorite wellness podcaster, Scorpio, and Gemini. Keep listening if you're looking for an extra supplement to help you reflect on your relationship with yourself and others, or keep you inspired and fearless about the possibilities for your own life. This season, you can look forward to topics like self-esteem, body consciousness, astrology and daily life, empowerment, law of attraction, and so much more. All with the goal of keeping you inspired and in the know. For more information, you can always connect with us at the Working Within Instagram or our website, workingwithin.net, to see our service offerings. Thank you all for your reviews, likes, and shares. And if you'd like to become a monthly supporter, you can click the link in our episode description. We look forward to building a community with you. Hello, listeners, and thank you for listening to another episode of Working Within Season 2. Yay! The topic this week is a repeat topic. We are talking about manifestation, what it means, how you can do it, what we've learned from applying it in our own lives, we being me and a few of the staff of The Landing, which is a digital platform for visual curation. This take on manifesting is really honestly inspiring to me because it was such a serendipitous journey to get these two, Liz and AMAC, on the show. So I mentioned this a bit in the show, but I found The Landing, and link to The Landing will be in the episode description, just because I think I was a victim of an Instagram ad. And what The Landing is like a vision board space that's online where you can create aesthetics, visions, put together designs all through the use of your laptop. And so that was really appealing to me because I actually am a vision boarder. Shout out to Marina. And I have a bunch of cut up magazines, a bunch of poster board, and like at least four different vision boards up in my house right now. But that was not something that I thought I could do when I was planning my clothing choices for a business trip I had coming up in August. And so this platform, The Landing, came to me at just the right time. It was a big career move to me. I wanted to look my best because looking your best makes me at least feel my best, and episode on that coming soon. And so I was really appreciative of having this kind of whiteboard template that I could just put so many ideas together in one place at. And that's what The Landing was. And in that way, you know, because The Landing is such a young platform and I joined in beta testing mode, I was then introduced to Liz, I believe, and we just started chatting via Instagram. You know, she had reached out saying like, wow, look at Charlene's board, like she's a beta user. If you need ideas, you can look here and at these other early user accounts. And so I thought that was just so cool. And I really believe in what they're doing. I love that they're offering space for creativity and for blending things together in a really like purposely unstructured way. I really appreciate when there's space to kind of just all over a canvas space discussion. So anyway, it's important that I invited The Landing guests to be on the show because in part what they do is facilitate manifestation ability for a lot of people via creativity. And we talk about this in the episode, but creation is absolutely a version of manifestation. I mean, to manifest, you have to be completely confident in your ability to create. And so that is what we talk about on the show. And we also just had some really great takes from both of them about how manifestation starts with being. And I've really tried to embrace that recently over the years, both and. Yes, you might set a goal. For instance, I might set a goal that I want to be a pole dancer. Or I might set a goal that I want to work out this many times a week. But before I do that, I have to feel that I am a pole dancer, because if I am not, if I do not believe that, however will my actions persist when I don't even feel that I could be a pole dancer or that I could be someone that works out multiple times a week? So anyway, all of that to say, there are so many awesome gems that came from this conversation, and I'm so grateful for the serendipitous way that me and Working Within and The Landing all came together to collaborate. And I just say, I have a feeling about The Landing, and listeners, you can quote me here. I just have a very strong feeling about The Landing, and I'm so excited to see where they grow and expand to It's really powerful when a platform can give people vision, because I believe vision is so important for us all having the lives we want to have. So thank you to The Landing for helping me pick out three awesome conference outfits that I felt like $1 million in. Thank you for facilitating a space where I could envision my future self and make it become tangible and a reality and someone I could feel and be before I actually got to the conference and other things in itself. And with that, I would love for you all to hear the conversation between me, Liz, and AMAC at The Landing. Listeners, thank you for trusting Working Within for another week. This week, we have another duo on the podcast scene. I'm here with Liz and AMAC of The Landing, and they are here to talk with us all about manifestation, manifestation as art, visualization, dreaming, and it's going to be a really cool conversation. I'm so excited to have them here. But before I get too far into the topic, I want to give them a chance to introduce themselves as well. So Liz, AMAC.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Charlene. We are so excited to be here. All of our favorite topics personally and at The Landing: manifestation, art, creativity. I'm AMAC. She, her are my pronouns. I am a marketing advisor, former head of marketing at The Landing. I split my time. I actually mostly spend my time as a visual artist, but I've been working with The Landing for going on 2 years, and I'm their marketing and brand advisor. So have spent a lot of time with Liz and the team, and I'm excited to kind of get into all of that stuff. I think apart from that, I identify as being on a spiritual path, shall we say. So manifestation, visualization, art, all of those things are very near and dear to my heart. And of course, since it's Working Within, I will tell you my placements. I am an Aquarius sun, which I love, Taurus moon, which I deeply identify with, love everything cozy and that kind of thing. And I'm a Sag rising, and I'll hand it over to Liz.
Thanks, AMAC. Charlene, I'm so excited to be here. I'm Liz. I'm the head of community and people at The Landing, and just really excited for our conversation today. Personally, I'm a Virgo sun and a Gemini moon, and I don't remember my rising, but I know that I identify super deeply with both of those. And yeah, just really looking forward to our discussion and talking all about the ways that, you know, our users have been manifesting throughout their journey on The Landing and some of the things that it's taught us to reflect about in our own lives.
Thank you both for those introductions. I guess probably a great jumping off point would be, could one, both of you describe what The Landing is for those who don't know, and what its intention is, and how it's kind of evolved to be this manifestation platform in its existence?
So The Landing is a platform. It's a digital space for visual curation. And it's a place really where our creators can demonstrate self-expression and curate their own personal corner of the internet. It's a platform that's super focused around aesthetics, kind of like a modern Pinterest meets Canva for some of our more design and curatorial oriented friends, but really like low pressure and very like community driven space where you can create mood or vision boards for all types of purposes. And you can make those boards actionable as you want them to be, or just as creative and kind of art centered as you want them to be. And then within the platform, you can also engage as you choose with other creators in kind of increasingly social ways. So you can browse a feed of other people's vision or mood boards and designs. You can engage and react and share comments very soon publicly to all users through the platform. So really just kind of this space where creators can connect over, you know, what they have that inspires them and what they have in common. It's fascinating. We started actually as like an online design tool and curated marketplace for home design. And that was back in 2020, like AMAC said. We've both been here since it was just our founders, Miri and Ellie, back in 2019. And we quickly realized it was kind of the beginning of the pandemic. that we weren't going to be able to execute a lot of the operational parts of the business at the time that involved moving people into and helping them design and style and execute on the vision for their homes. And what we really leaned into was that our creators and our users loved this design component of envisioning and kind of ideation creative component of our platform. So we made a lot of pivots. We really doubled down on that and kind of leaning into this creativity for creativity's sake. And that's brought us to kind of center around the design mood vision board as the central component of the landing. And now far beyond just the home, you know, travel, fashion, beauty, all kinds of use cases, including, of course, manifestation and vision boarding.
Yeah, thank you, Liz. That gives a really great picture of what the landing is. And I remember I stumbled into it almost, and maybe for like a more superficial reason than like vision boarding, but I was like picking out outfits for a business trip. And the landing was so helpful in helping me just bring colors together and vibes that I wanted to bring. And then I moved on to a few other boards that I think are a bit more focused on visualizing who I would, I think, like to see myself as. And that can be really an energizing thing to do. And it's so cool that the landing can facilitate that type of creativity. You know, what do you think the relationship is between creativity and vision and manifestation? Like, it seems like a lot of users on the landing have pushed it to be a platform that's great for vision, but why do you think that's happened?
Such a good question. I love that question. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about as it pertains to like the landing and also creativity in general is just this idea of being a creator. You hear it a lot today, kind of in the tech world, like the creator economy, but especially if you have a more kind of spiritual bent or even like into manifesting in general, right? Like the whole idea about manifestation is creating your own life. And that is exactly what we're trying to do on the landing. Like you mentioned, Charlene, you kind of went through a very typical user journey and kind of the journey the team went on, which is we started by helping people visualize their homes. So their living rooms or their bedrooms. We did tons of user interviews at that time. And a lot of what we were hearing from users is it's not just like what couch they want, it's the activities they want to be doing in that room and how furniture supports that. So it's really kind of like how they want to exist in their space and what kind of life they want to create. And that became like a very natural jumping off point for, like you said, Charlene, fashion. Like, what do I envision myself wearing? Every time I think about an outfit I want to wear, I'm really trying to kind of like embody a state of being, and clothes are a part of that. So I think whether anyone who's doing that from like designing their home to designing their outfit, right? All of that is kind of a very creator-like mindset. We're moving into creating something that doesn't exist, imagining a state of being that doesn't exist, and like finding things that reinforce and support that. So that's kind of how I think about creativity as it relates to all the topics we've kind of set out for this podcast of anyone who is visioning, anyone who's manifesting is inherently creative and that they're creating something that doesn't exist today that they want to see in the future. And the means by which you go about that, everyone has kind of a different path, but I love how so many people nowadays are doing mood boards and vision boards. I mean, I am obviously a very visual person. I think a lot of people on the landing team are visual people. So it's easy to imagine something in your head, but it's much easier to like explore other aesthetics, whether it's Pinterest boards or landing boards, and get ideas that way and start to imagine new things that way. So I went a little bit all over the place, but I think like there, you can't manifest without being creative, right? Being creative is creating something from nothing or creating something different. And for me, that's what manifestation is all about. And that's also what like design is about.
It's really powerful that you mentioned that we are, in fact, the creators of our lives. And I think we are able to access that creator feeling using the landing and what it provides to people. So thank you for reflecting on that and sharing, because I think that is a powerful frame to even internalize yourself, to think of yourself as a creator, even though you might not be, quote, creative. You know, you may not be able to put an aesthetic together, for example, or you think you might not be able to, and yet you still are able to make the choices that you'd like to exist as you want. So,
and that's something we've talked a lot about on the landing team, and we've kind of observed it from users. And, you know, Liz has so much she can share about our users and what we've seen. But I think one of the big things that you kind of just touched on right now, Charlene, is a lot of people like to say they're not creative, or they have this very fixed idea of what creative is. Like, creative is being a painter or being a writer and starting from like something blank and going to something finished. I think one of the things that we have really thought about from the product of the landing is you can start from a blank mood board, right? Just like a white kind of rectangle on your computer screen, but that can be intimidating a lot of the times. And that, I think, we don't view creators as people who can just go from zero to one. We view creators as also curators, or people who take something that exists and put their own flavor on it. So whether we have a feature at the landing called Remix, where you can literally start from someone else's board and add something else. But we see that as creativity as well, of like, just because you're not starting from a blank slate doesn't mean you're not putting your own spin on something by taking something you see and combining it with something else.
And sometimes you need that inspiration, you know, like if you're thinking about manifesting your future in a different way, it might be really hard to think about like, what do I want that to look like? Like, you, I know for me, like several years ago, like I was asked that question, like, what would you like, you know, your day-to-day life to look like in 5 years? And I had no work. Like I had never taken the time to like sit with that and think about it and imagine it. Right. And I didn't have the words for it. It started as like images sort of in my head of like maybe what I could imagine like a typical, you know, day in the life looking like, but never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would kind of be there. And it was so like hard to pin down. But one of the things that I love about what we see from users is you can just, like Amax said, really build on what someone else started with. And so it kind of lowers that barrier of like, well, I don't know where to start, and I don't know what my vision is for myself, and I don't know what I want. Like, how could I possibly answer that question? And then you start to see a couple things that other people have manifested for themselves, or that they're thinking about, or they're trying to kind of call in, and you start to say, oh, like, that's interesting. Like, I didn't think about that before, but that feels really relevant to me. And maybe there's a piece of this, and maybe there's a piece of that. Sometimes you need that like mental model to kind of kick start the, you know, process of envisioning what you want yourself, at least for me.
Yeah. And I think that's really important, Liz, because I mean, yeah, we don't want to over-index on one person knows everything or all that there is to know. And so it's like through that collaboration and even having a collaborative platform designed in a collaborative way, like users are really able to get inspired by each other. And like, are we all inspired by something else? You know, anyway, don't want to go down that train. But Liz, you just mentioned a bit more about what you've learned from users. I'm curious even here if there's anything else that you've really just kind of walked away with or are chewing on as you've been interviewing and interacting with users of the landing. You know, what have you learned or taken away from just getting to know the types of people and ideas that are being brought to the landing?
Oh my gosh, so much. I think like our users just have brilliant ideas. And I think there are so many things that we learn from them all the time. I think number one, it was a surprise to us when people started using the landing to make like vision boards and kind of manifestation theme designs. And so number one, it's like, allow your users to kind of surprise and delight you and tell you what they want. And like really kind of leaning into trusting that like our key stakeholders for us, our creators, they know what they want and they will tell you that. And like, if you are paying attention and you are listening and really seeking to understand not just what they're showing you, but why they're showing that to you and what they're trying to like do, then you can really start to build together, right? And so our users were showing us that this was a use case. And so we kind of leaned into that and said like, oh, that's interesting. How can we lean into that a little bit in our content? There was a really long time where we were super focused in our content around manifestation and kind of vision boards because we saw it was really resonating. So I think number one is just like, trust that your people know what they want. And it's about that marriage of like, what do our users want? And what is our vision for the company? And how do we like merge those things together? I think the second thing is like, specifically as it relates to manifesting, is just this reminder that like, you know, an AMAC led a session with our team during a retreat a few weeks ago about manifestation. And one of the things we talked about was like the idea of manifestation as this sort of like conscious or unconscious turning towards, pointing or turning yourself kind of towards these things that you are manifesting, right? And, you know, it's really hard to like AMAC said, kind of create your own future, create your own destiny if you don't have a vision for what that looks like. Because otherwise, like, how could your actions, how could your thoughts, which turn into your actions and your habits and, you know, who you are, how could those things turn towards what you want if you don't have a picture first of what that is, right? At a really high level. And so I think like our user, it was just this really powerful reminder of the fact that that is true. And so whether I am like, you know, using the landing to as a manifestation tool, but it was a reminder for us, I think, as a like the kind of parallel for us as a company, which is like, we have to talk about like, what do we see for ourselves in 10 years so that we can start turning towards that now and making some decisions intentionally now that are going to be pointing us closer towards those things in the future. So
is what you just shared just kind of like unlocked an aha moment for me as it pertains to the landing. So to get meta, I almost feel like the landing manifested the manifestation use case. Yeah. And what I mean by that is when we first started out, we were very, very focused on designing for home. Like we were like, this is our use case. This is what we're building. And kind of as the pandemic wore on, we started to move much more into a point of view of we want to enable creativity and we want to be value add for our users. And for me, I mean, to tie that back into manifestation, I think there's a lot of, I've been into manifestation for a few years now, so I'm very excited that it has entered the cultural zeitgeist. But I think there's a lot that is misunderstood about it. And, you know, you see all these TikToks of like, I'm manifesting, like, whatever, Zac Efron as my boyfriend. Like things that are incredibly specific. That is maybe like too millennial of a reference, but you get the idea.
Amazing.
I think there's a misunderstanding of manifestation, of manifesting things that are incredibly specific. So in the landing's case, it's almost like manifesting this use case of landing for home. When in a lot of kind of traditions, like what you actually want to manifest is a state of being. So I don't need to manifest this particular person as my boyfriend, but I want to manifest a partner that supports me, that encourages my creativity, right? Like all of these more general things that support the person and state of being that I want to inhabit. And the idea behind that is kind of what we've touched on already, is that when you're manifesting something specific, you are closing yourself off to all of the other possibilities. But if you manifest a state of being, right, like you might think this person, to continue with the boyfriend example, is the best case scenario, but you're limited to what you know at this moment. And there might be so many other better options that you can't conceive that the universe or however you want to call it has in store for you. So by kind of moving towards the state of being idea, you're opening yourself up to however that actually however the specifics manifest. So I always like to kind of make a point to say, try to manifest the state of being. And I think going back to the landing example, right? Like we started towards the end of last year, really starting to focus on how do we become value add for our creators and how do we enable creativity? And that started to move us to start building, talking to more users. What did they actually need? and move us to start more focusing on building the creative tool that was flexible and had a bunch of other use cases. And as we started to do that and started to get more out into the world, naturally the users started using our tool, which had a great background removal, now has text, you know, all of these kind of very Figma Canva-y things. They started to use it for whatever they wanted to use it for. And one of those use cases was manifestation and vision boards. And that was not something the team was like actively using it for on our own, but it was something that started to come up a lot and we saw it all over the feed. And for me, that's like a perfect example almost of manifestation of it hits everything that we wanted to accomplish, which is we wanted to be value add for our users' lives and we wanted to help and encourage people to be creative. So while we didn't have manifestation as a use case, as a goal, like 6 months ago or a year ago, it kind of naturally came up and has accomplished a lot of what we set out to accomplish in the first place. So I think, right, like that is manifestation in action at a company level. And it's something like we as a team have gone and kind of really, really zoomed in on being value add for users and encouraging and supporting creativity. And it's kind of like whatever the use case the users then come back to us with, we'll take that and run with it and support it. But we're super open to kind of whatever that ends up looking like. And it kind of changes week to week and month to month as new users come in.
Such a good point, AMAC, because, you know, I think it's like when you ask people why they want to come work for a company like The Landing, it's incredibly hard to make it about what it is that you are building when you're part of a startup, and what you are building changes literally every day, every week, you know, month to month. So to AMAC's point, it's like, how do you stay focused on like, why are we doing this? And what are the things that we're trying to kind of like at a really high level, like achieve or be true? And then the how and the what, it's just always going to change, you know? And it's just about like, how do we stay connected to that? Like, what's the why? And I think, again, that's just like all very, very tied to like this idea of like, we have this vision that we're manifesting, and how it chooses to like happen is unknown to all of us. But what kind of binds us is that bigger picture vision, the values, and then like just trusting that we're going to kind of end up in the right place and listening to our users to get there.
Trusting that you end up in the right place. I love that. Mm-hmm. And I feel that right now. That's why we're on the phone. But no, and that mind frame has helped me personally in unlocking my own creativity, trusting that I don't need to solve anything, that nothing needs to be perfect, but that I am undoubtedly following the feeling that I have when I'm doing something, and to just keep doing that is really great for me. And to bring that down to the ground and not woo-woo in the air, but I mean like rewriting, for example, that feels great to me. And the more I do that, the more I see myself as a communicator and the more confident I am in hosting a podcast episode. And that is just an example of me not thinking concretely of what me free writing actually needs to look like, and limiting that to be one thing that could then, like, I don't know, put limits on what it could become, and just experimenting and playing around almost like an adult kid, adult, 20-something playground of just possibility. So thank you for offering those reflections. And I want to overly, doubly, triply emphasize something both of you said, is that, you know, if we trust that we know what we want and like are have at least a little bit of conviction about, you know, what we enjoy, and we follow that, then there's possibility for like infinite creativity. You know, like everything that's been created came from pieces of it. And so I just think that's really cool. And I love how you both have been focusing on company level manifestation. And this is working with them, so we're going to get to personal stuff. Sorry.
Love not it. Sorry.
And so I would now love to ask, and I will ask right now, how do you both use tools of visualizing, manifesting, goal setting, accountability, whatever the term is for you, how do you use that to move toward this self-image vision you have that does not exist now? State of being, as Amex said.
So many things. I think the most kind of tangible is I went through kind of this self-development retreat program a couple years ago, and the kind of big output of it was writing a 10-year vision. And it was writing a 10-year vision in the present state 10 years from now. So like the first line of mine is, I live in a constant state of joy and expansion. And it's dated March 2030. So, you know, present tense, 10 years from now. And I wrote that vision kind of in with kind of a lot of the frameworks that I've been talking about of like, what is a state of being and like, what do I want my life to look like somewhat specifically, but also kind of like, how do I feel in all areas of my life? So I wrote this 10-year vision and I recorded myself reading it. And I listen to it at least a couple days a week, kind of as a meditation. So I have a daily meditation practice, but one of the things I do at least a couple times a week is I listen to this recording and I try to imagine it being true to kind of like embody that state of being as we've been talking about. And at different points this year, I have lapsed from doing that and I've kind of forgotten about it. And then every time I come back, I realize how much more I have started moving towards this vision, even though it wasn't in my conscious awareness. That I think is one of like the most powerful things about manifestation. Whether you, even if you don't believe in kind of like woo-woo spiritual stuff, right? Like the idea of creating a goal, writing it down or saying it and being conscious of that goal makes you both consciously and unconsciously turn towards it, as Liz said, which I love, right? Like I have a goal in that 10-year vision to be doing creative work every day. And when I wrote it, I actually hadn't really started pursuing art professionally yet. So this was March 2020. I posted my first painting on Instagram, I think in April 2020. And sold my first painting August 2020. So I knew in the vision, I don't talk about being a painter, but I talk about doing creative work every day and finding that really fulfilling. And I have moved, like where I am now, 18 months later, is not at all what I could have imagined for myself in March 2020. So that is probably like my biggest hack. I have that 10-year vision, which is like very, very wide. And I do try to have like a handful of goals every year that helps me, especially as someone who freelances and is self-employed, to kind of always jump back to what are my top priorities. So there's like a list of 4 or 5 and I revisit that pretty frequently.
Oh my gosh, so many good ideas. I'm like writing notes and like, these are so good. Like I should pull pieces of that into my practice for sure. It's such a good question. So it's sort of like, how have you kind of embodied manifestation in your own journey and sort of seeking like to be where you are today? I mean, I talked about this, but I think sometimes this happens, you know, like you're kind of forced into getting to a place where you have to really reconsider that. And so I mentioned, you know, a couple of years ago, it was 2017, I was professionally like really looking to make a change. And there were a lot of like, I was completely burned out. I just felt like I was really not in the right place in my career. That was kind of not in my career, but where I was, and kind of sort of was deeply impacting my mental health at the time. And I told you that at the time, you know, it was 2017, my therapist posed this question of like, what do you think, what would you want your daily life to look like? And like I said, you know, at the time, I really didn't know. I didn't have the words to articulate. I can't even remember what exactly I said, but it started to become like kind of visual. And it was like, okay, I know I want space. I know I want like a little bit more flexibility. Like, I know I want to be able to wake up and make like have choice and like make choices about like what I'm going to do in the morning or that day or with my time, right? And I think, so there were some pieces around like, what do I want to feel like that were very helpful to me when I didn't really have like the words or even the visuals. I didn't know what my job should be. Like, I didn't know what my profession would be that would get me to be able to do that. And it honestly felt like unfathomable at the time. But, you know, so there was that piece of it. And then there's the second piece, which I think like pretty early on in my career, I wrote down really explicitly, like, what needs to be true for me in any job or any career trajectory decision that I make. At the time, I was like, you know, I taught for 2 years through a program. I considered going back to grad school. I was, again, going to take this like completely like random opportunity to go start a school in New Orleans. Like, and I was just like, how do I make this choice between the path that I thought I was going to take and these other opportunities that are completely different than anything I thought I would be doing? And so like a Mac, you know, writing down something, some really specific things. And I'm literally like looking at a notebook where I had like written them, you know, down, and I like saw them, and I would ask myself, you know, am I working with a team of people that I love, that are good people, that like inspire me and push me and help me grow? And are we working towards something that's like mission driven, values aligned, and like somehow making the world a better and more equitable place? And if I could have those things like in my head, then I could, when opportunities arose that would take me either closer towards that or like farther from that, it was so much easier to make those choices about whether I should go left or whether I should go right. And so I think having that, like, this is the way I want to feel, kind of like I would like to feel like X, Y, and Z on any given day to day in my life, and starting to get a little bit clearer about what that might be. And then coupling that with like, what are the values or like the things that must be true for me no matter what? That's, I think, how, you know, and then there have been so many different milestones since then where like the decision was actually quite clear because of those pieces. But if you had asked me 2.5 years ago, if I had would have been, you know, a head of community at a tech startup that was centered around mood and vision boards, I would have laughed in your face. Like, I literally spent my entire career before this in education. So like, it's completely a 180, but it again furthers those things, and all of those pieces are true. Right. And I look back at like myself in 2017 and I say like, oh my God. I mean, it was only when we started talking about this manifestation that I like remembered this moment. And I was like, wait, like so many parts of my day-to-day life are like what I at that time couldn't have ever imagined, like being in a place where that was true. So a long-winded way of kind of trusting the process. Back to that concept.
Back to it. No, exactly. And one really important thread I think both of you mentioned is focusing on the feeling that you want to be embodying and experiencing and trusting that it will come. Because I feel like even if my take is that even if you do, you know, have a feeling that you know you want to embody and be present in at some point in time, if you do not believe it is possible to achieve, then subconsciously you will not turn yourself, as the metaphor we've been using, you will not turn yourself that way because you don't even think you can walk from that turn you've made. You don't think there's a direction to go. So feelings, those feeling words seem really important. I think I'm going to do some, you know, I am like an obsessive journaler, but I think I will have to add that to the repertoire. What do I want to feel like today? What do I feel like today, actually, in setting the precedent even potentially? Okay, well, I obviously invite either AMAC or Liz to say more. I'm honestly genuinely curious, AMAC, about the session that you led on manifestation for the landing folks. What themes would you pull from that session that you held, if you haven't spoken to them already, that you think would be really important for the listeners to hear as well, and no matter where they are on their journey with goal setting, manifestation, or visualization?
So we touched on a lot of what I shared. I think the big takeaway is this idea of state of being. Because I think for a lot of people, they don't think about goals in that way, right? Like, we are often taught to have the goal of going to this college or getting this job or like these very tangible things. And as you started to mention, Charlene, like we are rarely taught to kind of prioritize a feeling or a state of being. So that, I think, if there's anything you take away from what I've shared about manifestation, it's like thinking about that state of being. There is also one thing that I shared that we haven't touched on is this concept of be, do, have. So in kind of going off of what traditional culture kind of teaches us is, right, they tell us that we should do something in order to have something, in order to be something. So I should do this thing, work hard in order to have this shiny job, and that will make me feel or be happy. But really, like, the way of thinking about it, especially with manifestation, is be, do, have. Like, first aim at being the state that you want, and then you can do the things you want to do and have the things that you want to have. But first and foremost, what we're all really going for is the state of being. And I think for me in my personal life, that has been like a really formative way of thinking. I was kind of on this corporate career path. You know, I held kind of C-level roles at startups, and I was kind of checking all of these boxes of going to good schools and getting these big jobs and getting the jobs bigger and bigger. And when I stopped to think about it, what I really wanted to do was get to a point where I could do creative work. I always used to joke, oh, when I retire, I'm going to be an artist. And because of different experiences in my life and different wonderful friends who stopped me and said, why can't you be an artist now? Like, the moment that I got asked that question, I was like, oh my God, you're right. Why couldn't I be an artist now? And do I really need to accomplish all of these things before I do what I really want to be doing? So I think with this be, do, have mindset, right? It's like, if I really want to have a life where I'm being creative every day, like, why not just start to try to have that life and let other things follow? And even, I mean, the landing, I left my full-time job. I was working in mental health at a wonderful company called Two Chairs. But I left my full-time job right before the pandemic, not realizing it was going to be a pandemic. As I mentioned, I didn't actually think I was going to pursue art. I just knew I wanted to do something more creative. And I knew I was going to freelance because, practical, we live in this dimension and I need to pay my rent. So money. But even the landing, I joined the landing originally as on a 6-week contract because I knew Ellie and Mary from school. And at the time, the landing was this home goods startup, which was exciting to me, but not that exciting. And it just kind of unfolded where it became a creativity startup, and a creativity startup with a role that actually really worked for what I was looking for, that also really worked for the company. So it's funny, I joked to Ellie and Miri that I like manifested the job at the landing because it just worked so well for both sides. But I think that is an example of this idea of like, what if you tried being what you want to be? Like, I use it for creativity, but I think it also kind of ties into like any emotion. It's kind of like the law of attraction type stuff, right? Like, what if I am happy? What if I decide to be happy? And that is, you know, as someone who has struggled with mental illness in my past, like, that is easier said than done. But especially anytime I come across something, and this was something I also talked about in the session of like, you feel yourself being skeptical, that is great. But what if you tried, as a thought exercise, believing it was true for a day or a week and just seeing how that goes? Because like, open-mindedness for me is like the best quality of anyone. So even if you're like, that is never going to work, what if you just try, what if you just believed it was going to work for a week and you tried it out as a thought exercise, right? Like, I think for a lot of people who do that, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be happy for a week. I'm going to act happy. I'm going to do all the things a happy person would do. Oftentimes that state follows. And that is really kind of the power of this idea of be, do, have.
Thank you for explaining that, Anak. And I think it is so powerful to just, yeah, ask yourself, why can't I be or feel that way now, whatever you want that to be. And that open-mindedness that you mentioned as well, can really help someone step into that and just start to dream up the possibilities of what can come if I am to be first. So that is really cool. And this is so heartwarming to talk about because these subjects are so near and dear to me as well. And I'm just so glad that both of you like are on this mic with me articulating these really helpful tools and just lessons that you've learned along your company and personal journeys. But anyway, enough of that. Liz, I'm wondering, like, what do you want listeners to walk away from this episode with?
That is such a good question. I mean, I really think it's everything that we've already talked about, which is that, like, if you really kind of try to internalize the idea that your thoughts are malleable, right? And, like, that you can sort of rewire like your patterns of thinking and behavior, you can absolutely like change the direction and trajectory of your life. And like, it will not be obvious to you. Like the path is not obvious. And I used to talk to people when I was in like college, and I would talk to people who were like farther into their career, and I'd be like, how did you end up there? And they would always say like, I don't know, like it just kind of, you know, one thing led to another. And it is just so, at the time I was like, no way, like, I'm sorry, you're an exception. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, surely there's a rule for like, if you do this, then you can do, but it just is that like one thing kind of leads to another. And again, just kind of like staying really aligned and clear on like, what are your values? And a lot of the things that AMAC has talked about with like experimenting with your own thought processes and like how you reframe your thoughts, like to kind of align towards those values, like in these very micro ways, all those tiny actions really start to add up over time. And then I think, you know, it has a bit of a snowball effect from there, right? Because like we said, like the laws of attraction, like there's so many things that are related to this concept, the laws of attraction, right? The like sort of self-fulfilling, the concept of the self-fulfilling prophecy, right? I talked about, you know, I used to work in public education for a long time. I started my career as a teacher. And like, we talked a lot about like high expectations for kids and the need to have high expectations for kids, and that students will rise to the expectations that are set for them, be them, be those low or be those high expectations. And it gets, Charlotte, to exactly what you were talking about, which is like, first you have to paint the picture of what's possible and set the bar high. And then you need students to really believe that that is possible for them, that they can get there. And you saw that play out in like both qualitative and quantitative ways, like truly in data. Like it's not, I know we've said woo-woo, but it's not woo-woo. Like it can be extremely strategic and intentional and data-driven. And, you know, it doesn't manifesting something doesn't have to be, you know, only rooted in. So yeah, I guess it's like, if you think it's not for you, I would encourage you to think again, is one thing I would think about for sure, leaving this podcast. Hey, Mac, what about you?
Liz, one of the things you said about the college path reminded me of, I think it was Sheryl Sandberg that said, careers are jungle gyms, not ladders. Mm. And I think that is really, for me, I always use that example with manifestation of like, you're pointed at the top, but you might not actually know the path that you are going to take to get there. And there's more than one path. So that was one little tidbit I wanted to add. But I think the takeaway I want people to leave with is that it is worth the effort of taking the time to think about what you really want and taking the time to visualize that in like a real way. So I know we've talked a lot about states of being, but like, I think I'm constantly surprised, but maybe I shouldn't be, of when I lead these manifestation sessions of how I say that and people have not actually thought about what that means. Like they're like, I want to be happy, question mark, like fulfilled, feel creative. So both thinking of like, what activities do you do that make you feel your best? And how would you name that state of being? And if you are pointed at that, what choices will you make in your life? So I think it is worth imagining what you want for your life, and also
believing that like you do not know the tip of what that, you know, some version of what that is, but there is so many more bigger versions of that that you can't even conceive right now. So like dream even bigger.
Dream even bigger.
Yes.
Wow. And those listeners are the perfect final words. Dream even bigger. Can we just give a round of applause, please, to Liz and AMAC for coming on the show?
Yay! Not a fan.
If you thought that that was awesome, like I did, I would absolutely encourage you to, one, check out The Landing, and two, check out Liz and AMAC, and three, dream bigger. So anyway, listeners, I had a great time. I hope you had a great time, and thank you for tuning in.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Working Within. We're ecstatic that you made it this far. If you liked what you heard, we'd really appreciate your reviews and shares. And if you want to become a monthly supporter, you can click the link in our episode description as well. As always, stay connected with us through our Instagram, working.within, and our website, workingwithin.net. We hope to see you again soon.